Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. I love the mountains. From various places in Calgary, you can see the mountains in the distance and almost feel them beckoning to you. When I lived in Rocky Mountain House, one of the privileges I had was to spend a week in Jasper each summer, serving the congregation up there for a Sunday. I came to a greater appreciation for the phrase mountaintop experience. And no matter how much effort it took, it was always worthwhile to ascend to the heavens. At least that's what it felt like, a pilgrimage towards the sky, to a place where heaven seemed almost within reach. Today's texts are about two mountaintop experiences. The first takes us to Mount Sinai, where Moses had a personal encounter with God. It's a rough and rugged climb. When I was there, hard to believe, over 15 years ago, I only had to walk down the mountain. We rode camels on the ascent. On the pathways were sometimes so narrow, so steep, it was positively frightening. The guide leading my camel sensed my fear and nonchalantly said, "Don't worry, the camels want to live too." I held on for dear life with my eyes closed for much of the ride. I never did make it all the way to the top. We arrived at Elijah's ledge. It was too steep for the camels to go any further, and I was not fit enough to get all the way to the top. Elijah's ledge was the closest I was going to get to the mountaintop, but it was spectacular. I found myself thinking about Elijah, who heard the still small voice and was fed and strengthened after having come to a point of despair concerning his ministry and his very life. And then I thought of Moses, who had climbed this mountain at the age of 80. He spent 40 days and nights on the mountain in the presence of God. I am assuming that he was supernaturally sustained by God, because there is certainly no food or any source of water on that dusty, stony peak. But by the time I got there, there was actually a little shop selling Coke on Elijah's ledge. Moses went there to meet with God. And when he descended, it was with all the commandments that God had for the people of Israel, the divine handbook for a godly life that was meant to be a light for all nations. And when Moses descended, his face shone. He had been transformed by the time he had spent before the face of God. In a sense, he was physically reflecting the glory of God to the people who saw him after his mountaintop experience. Our gospel text tells of another mountaintop experience. Jesus took his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, up the mountain to pray. The gospels are full of references to Jesus removing himself from the crowds in order to pray. And from ancient times, mountains were seen as good places to pray, as if by climbing to the heights, you could physically reach out towards heaven. And on this particular day, several spectacular, extraordinary events took place. Jesus was praying, and as he was praying, his face changed and his clothes became bright, just like Moses. It's as though the glory of the Lord is being reflected on Jesus. And in that moment, Moses and Elijah, the two Old Testament figures most closely associated with Mount Sinai, were on a different mountain with Jesus. They were talking with Jesus about the road that was ahead of him, the road to Jerusalem and to his death. Moses, who brought the law down from the mountain, was with Jesus, who perfectly fulfilled that law. And Elijah, the prophet, found himself with the one who would be the fulfillment of all of God's prophecies. I wonder what they talked about. They were speaking about his exodus, his forthcoming death. That much the text tells us. But I wonder how the conversation went. Was it a pep talk ahead of a difficult road? Was it excitement that God's plan was about to be fulfilled? The disciples dozed, but woke up just in time to see Moses and Elijah preparing to leave, probably kicking themselves for not paying more attention. They wanted to prolong the moment, to build some tents and just camp out there. But that's the thing about mountaintop experiences. They never last forever. And this particular mountaintop experience concludes with one last spectacular event. A voice from heaven saying, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." The same voice that had introduced Jesus to the world by saying, "You are my son, whom I love." Two spectacular stories about mountaintop experiences. But what are they saying to me, to us? Both of these stories serve as a call to prayer. A reminder of the importance of taking time away from the craziness of life to simply be with God. Whether it's the 40 days that Moses spent on the mountains, a timeline that most of us could never manage, or just a shorter time. We don't know how long Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, but probably not more than a couple of hours. Whether it's 20 minutes in the morning or a day or more spent on retreat, we need these times of spiritual refreshment. We need time to simply be with God, sometimes in solitude and sometimes with others who are likewise seeking the face of God. Prayer changes us. I can't claim to have come out of a retreat simply glowing like Moses. But when we sit unveiled before the face of God, when we turn our eyes to the glory of God, we also, as Paul says to the Corinthians, are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. That word unveiled in the epistle text is one to think about for a minute. When Moses descended from the mountain, his face shone with such intensity that it frightened people. He needed to don a veil so that he wouldn't freak them out. But we are also told that when he went into the tent of meeting to speak to the Lord, he would take the veil off. He would meet face to face. I think it is a metaphor for honesty and transparency. When we sit before God, we come as we are, with no pretense or subterfuge. God knows who we are, and God loves us as we are. And by the power of the Spirit, God sets about transforming our lives until that day when we will be conformed to the image of Christ. And when we pray, we too are asked to listen. Prayer is not just about telling God what we think we need, but about hearing from God those things that we really do need in order to live out this life that is before us. We may not come down from the mountain with a complete set of the law, but we can trust that God will put into our hearts and minds those things that are necessary for the next steps of our journey. The Transfiguration came at a pivotal point for Peter, James, and John. About 8 days earlier, Jesus had affirmed Peter's identification of him as the Messiah, and he had told them something of what that would entail: suffering, rejection, death, and resurrection. And he had told them that the call to discipleship was a demanding one, that following would mean a cross for them as well. The Transfiguration was a glorious experience, followed by another miracle of healing. But soon Jesus would speak of his death again, and soon he would set his face towards Jerusalem. I can't help but wonder if this mountaintop experience was meant to spiritually sustain them through the difficult days which lay ahead. This Wednesday, we begin the season of Lent, a time of reflection on the journey to Jerusalem, a time when traditionally we have been encouraged to intensify our spiritual focus. When I was young, you would hear about people giving up something for Lent. Later on, I had a pastor who said maybe what was needed was to take something on for Lent, a discipline of prayer or Bible reading. As we read of these two mountaintop experiences, maybe they can serve as our inspiration to carve out some time in our days to simply sit unveiled before the face of God, and to trust his transformative work in our lives, even as we look towards the day of resurrection. Amen.